Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors. I'm Coach Nick, and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. This episode is 113, and it's called Unconscious Bias. You can reach, or catch, I should say, the other 112 episodes on Podomatic and on iTunes by searching Dudes of Disruption. You are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator on transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. My purpose, our purpose, is to awaken humanity so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture, team dynamics, and personal development. I run a men's group here in New York City. If you want to check out the Dudes men's group here in New York, we meet twice a month. Email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. I also run a social action group for those of you who are interested in staying engaged around politics. It's called Cocktails with Conviction. We have an event coming up on November 6th. Email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Today's show is, or this episode, is all about unconscious bias. What is actually driving what's happening in the forefront, which would be your choices, your actions, the decisions you make, the words that you use, the language that you use, the conversations that you're having, is all driven by what's happening in the background, what lurks in the background. I have in studio here my friend, Sam Leibowitz. Say hi, Sam.
Always grateful to be with you, Nick.
Thank you very much, Sam. So, Sam, we start every show, every episode, with a quote.
I know that, dude.
Sam, our quote to start this show called Unconscious Bias. We tend to accept information that confirms our prior beliefs and ignore or discredit information that does not. This confirmation bias settles over our eyes like distorting spectacles for everything we look at. Mm-hmm. That's a quote from Kyle Hill. You want me to read that one more time?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Read it again.
It's almost as long as my last name, Papadopoulos.
Yeah, that's a long last name.
Okay, we tend to accept information that confirms our prior beliefs and ignore or discredit information that does not. This confirmation bias settles over our eyes like distorting spectacles for everything we look at. What does that mean to you?
Man, it basically means like we only see what we want to see.
Yes.
We only see what's going to uphold our already pre-existing beliefs,
yes,
our pre-existing ideas. And if it's something to the contrary, it must not be true. We discredit it. We disallow it. We don't even see it.
Yes. In all my years of coaching and facilitating with teams, one of the things I would say that I've always found in human beings is that people are going to be right about what they're going to be right about. And to me, the importance of this conversation around understanding what your biases may be, because the majority of your biases are actually unconscious,
right,
is really important, because you're out there being right about about many things.
Yeah.
You're being right about your opinion on a decision at work or a decision at home, or about who you choose as your partner or who you choose as your friends, or financial decisions you're making. And it's all being driven, or most of it's being driven, by biases that are in the unconscious that are lurking in the background.
Right. But you know, what you just said just reminds me of that old expression.
What's that?
You can be right or you can be happy, but
yes,
you can rarely be both. You know, we're so busy being right, we forget that really all we want is to be happy.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like that old expression, like when you have a fight with your wife, you can't win anyway, because
yes,
if you win, you lose, and if you lose, you lose.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing about being right, if you're committed to being right, often what that means is that you're committed to sometimes you're doing it at the expense of actually creating a win-win.
Right.
It comes at the expense of actually thinking beyond yourself, right?
Right.
Often when you're being right about what you're being right about, it's because you want to look good, or you want to play it safe, or you want to make somebody else wrong, or you want to dominate,
right,
or you want to, you know, you want to win and you want somebody else to lose, right?
Right.
And that's driven by this unconscious bias often, right?
Right.
So, you know, there's an exercise that I used to do early on when I started facilitating. Well, you may know this. It's in the Stephen Covey book, Seven Habits for Successful People. It's the old lady, young lady exercise that Harvard did many, many, many years ago.
Sure.
And the way it goes, and I know it's a little hard to do on a podcast, but basically you have a room full of people. Let's say there's 25 people in the room, right? Half the room, you give a picture of an image of a young lady.
Right.
In the other half, you give a picture, an image of an elderly lady.
Right.
Now, both sides of the room don't know what you've given them, right? So one side of the room doesn't know that the other side has something different, right? So one side of the room has a younger lady, an image of a younger lady. The other side has an image of an elderly lady.
Right.
You then give out a third image, the same image, the third time, and you give it out to everyone, and you ask them to respond as to what they see. The side of the room that I gave the younger woman sees a younger woman in this third version.
Right.
The other side that I initially gave or originally gave the elderly image sees an elderly woman.
Right.
And what happens in a session is that people start to argue. No, I see a young woman. No, I see an old woman.
Right?
And they start to argue.
Right.
Well, who's right?
Right, but the important thing you didn't really mention was that, like, this is a drawing, and I remember seeing the drawing, and the drawing, depending on how you look at it, is the exact same drawing.
Yes.
The lines are the exact same lines.
Yes.
It's just if you pre-identify it one way or another, then that's what you see.
Yes.
But when you don't identify it and you just say, what is this? Some people will see an old woman. Some people will see a young woman.
Yes.
This is one of those things where it plays with the negative space.
Yes. And by the way, in some cases, I think you'll find this funny. Some people will say, no, I see an owl, or I see a river, or I see a raccoon, or I see a bird.
Right.
And then the question is, well, who's right? Well, at the end of the day, everyone is right.
Exactly.
Because you're seeing what you want to see based on your biases.
Right.
And this conversation is not about making our biases wrong. And by the way, sidebar, we all have biases.
Sure.
You don't have to go down the street to Home Depot or to Walmart or your local shop and get one off the shelf.
Right.
We have biases about everything, which I'll reference in a moment. So this conversation is not about making our biases wrong. Rather, that to acknowledge that we have biases.
Right, recognize them.
Recognize them, right? Because when you recognize them, that's when something different is possible, right?
Right.
We all do, and we find ways to confirm those biases, by the way, which is what you're saying in the exercise in the Covey book, right? I'm going to find the lines that confirm the original image that Nick gave me.
Right.
And by the way, what's also interesting about that exercise is that I was able to influence what people saw within just seconds.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now, so think about how we're being influenced all day long,
and those influences
in all our lives.
Absolutely, and those could just be some subtle words, like, "Oh, here I'm handing you out this beautiful picture." So immediately people think, oh, beautiful picture. Oh, it must be a beautiful woman.
Yes, exactly. So the conversation here is less about making yourself or others wrong about whatever biases they have. Rather, this conversation is to become aware of them, like Sam said, and to disrupt them in order to create something new, or to disrupt them so at least you can choose whatever bias you have with eyes wide open, which is really what the purpose of our show is about, disrupting our automatics so that we're choosing from an awakened place.
Right. And the other important thing to keep in mind is that biases are wildly different depending on the culture.
Yes.
You've talked about culture before on the show, about the culture you come from.
Yes.
So, like, if you were brought up in Europe, you're going to have different biases than if you brought up in the United States, which will be different than if you were brought up in Asia.
Exactly. Absolutely. Whatever is in the background is driving your choices, your decisions, and your behaviors. So if you ever want to know, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I making the decisions or the choices or not making the choices or decisions? It's always in the background. So if you want a different result, then explore what's in the background, which are your biases. Now, I have a colleague, Melissa, who defined unconscious bias in a few different ways, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, so I'm going to share a few of the ways that she defines what unconscious bias means. So one is selective perception. Allowing our expectations to influence how we perceive a person or a situation. It's actually what you just said. I see an image of a young lady, therefore I'm going to think it's going to be a picture that's going to be beautiful as well. You make that association.
Right.
The second way to define unconscious bias is by stereotyping. Expecting a group or a person to have certain qualities without actually knowing that individual. Right. So I'm of Greek heritage. So for those listeners in the global tribe of disruption, you can make all the jokes you want about Greeks, right?
Right.
Are they true for every single Greek?
Of course not.
Right? You're of Jewish background.
Yes.
I mean, you're an individual. You have your unique set of talents. You're a unique human being.
Right.
To just say, you know, you're Jewish, therefore you are X, Y, or Z, or you're not X, Y, or Z, would be actually irresponsible.
Right. It's like making this cookie cutter formula of everybody who's this is this, and everyone who's that is that, and it's never true.
Exactly. So my colleague Melissa, there's four ways that she defined unconscious bias. We've shared two. A third would be confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is we tend to listen only to information that confirms our preconceptions. I mean, this definitely plays out in politics,
right?
You will only listen to the folks, to the stations that confirm what you want to believe because it makes you feel good.
Right.
Now, again, it's okay to have a comfort level.
Right. Do you understand the why it makes us feel good?
Talk about it.
Because we fear the unknown. Because the unknown is scary.
Right.
And to be open to something that we don't know or don't understand because it's different from what we're used to is a vulnerable place.
Yep.
And to be vulnerable is very scary these days.
It is. And the fourth way that my colleague defines unconscious bias is bandwagon effect. The probability of one person adopting their beliefs increases as more people are involved in making a decision. Mm. Now, what are some ways that we consciously and unconsciously classify people? Well, there's your classics: age, title in a company, religion, school that you go to, the neighborhood that you grew up in, the neighborhood that you live in currently, your ethnic background, your gender, your sexual orientation, geographic location, where you live, the company that you work for or the company that you have worked for, right? Mm-hmm. Your marital status. Oh, you're divorced? Mm-hmm. Oh, you haven't been married yet? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're 40 and not married, right? You know, you get that. Or how someone dresses,
right?
The clothes they wear, especially in certain occasions. Why would somebody wear that or not wear that, right? How someone speaks, the words that they use or the words they don't use.
Or their accent.
Exactly, right? Unconscious bias is expansive. It casts a wide net, and it's really important to understand that we all have unconscious bias, and that most of our thinking is actually in the unconscious because our biases serve as a filter on how we interact and how we relate and how we are with people. It's actually impacting your relationships. Therefore, it's impacting the results that you are generating. So I want to share with you a study that my colleague Melissa shared with me. It was a research study around demonstrating the biases towards candidates simply based on their name.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just based on their name, right? So 1,000 resumes were submitted with the name Emily, and 1,000 resumes were submitted with the name Lakeisha.
Ooh.
Second point, 1,000 resumes were submitted with the name Jamal, and 1,000 resumes were submitted with the name Greg. So this is about unconscious bias, and again, there's so many different ways in so many different places that we have an unconscious bias. Lakeisha and Jamal had to submit 50% more applicants before ever receiving a phone call for a single interview.
Wow.
Based on their name, according to this study. There was another study done at Yale University that asked science researchers to rate two candidates for a lab manager position, a male and a female, both with the same qualifications. Participants, including both men and women, rated the male candidate as more qualified and were willing to pay him a higher starting salary than his female counterpart.
Wow.
Interesting, right? I mean, this is what I mean about your bias is producing a certain result. Right. And it's not about right or wrong. It really isn't.
Right.
It's not that you're doing anything wrong consciously. It's that what's driving our choices our decisions, our behaviors, is coming from the background, from our biases. And our biases can be everything from, you know, having a bias around name, religion, right, where someone lives, what companies they've worked for, have they been an entrepreneur, have they been married, are they divorced, do they have kids, they don't have kids. All those things play a factor.
What school did they go to?
What school did they go to? How long were they there? Did they stop? Did they get a graduate degree? Did they not? All these play a role in how you interact and how you relate to people. So what do we do, Sam? How do we do it differently, right? So I found this great article in Fast Company called "You're More Biased Than You Think" by this woman, Jane Porter. And what she said was, one of the ways to start disrupting your bias, especially when you're evaluating talent at your company, for example, right, is to focus on the skills. Right. And eliminate all the other distractions. Okay, so one of the things that the study in this article said through the Clayman Institute of Gender Studies at Stanford found that the number of women musicians in orchestras went up from 5% to 25% since the 1970s. A shift that happened when judges began auditioning musicians behind screens so they could not see them.
Oh.
One way to do that, the Stanford researchers found, is to create clear criteria for evaluating candidates before looking over their qualifications. Right? So basically, right, you're making a decision based on facts, on equal qualifications, right? Right? Evaluating candidates on equal qualifications rather than anything else.
Right.
Gender, religion, whatever, height, whatever it may be.
Right.
Another way that Jane Porter talks about disrupting your bias is let the numbers speak for themselves, she says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll give you a quick example. When I mentioned in a previous podcast how I was a VP of sales at a technology company, I had 300 people at my company, and at one point we had to do a layoff. Okay,
right.
We had to evaluate talent, and what I did was I had our business analyst give me a spreadsheet of all 300 salespeople without their names, by the way. And I measured them against four categories, around four different categories around sales performance, because I wanted the numbers to speak for themselves. I did not want to be biased by geography, because there were some offices that I liked. I'm a New Yorker, even though I was living in Colorado at the time. I may have a bias towards New York. Maybe I have a bias towards male or female, whatever it may be, right? So I said, eliminate the names, just give me those four categories, and that's how I made my decision. So focus on the numbers. Let the numbers speak for themselves.
Right. And you know, it was interesting what you said before that, you know, sometimes we're biased on things that we're not even aware we're biased on.
Yes.
Because I remember there was a study done about height, because you mentioned height a moment ago, that for people of equal education and equal background, when you were over 6 feet tall,
yes,
for every inch, they found that for every inch over 6 feet tall that the man was, they earned $10,000 more per year.
Is that right?
In average. Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, oh my God.
That's fascinating. Jane Porter in this article from Fast Company also talks about, I'll share two more. One is, she says, acknowledge microaggression. Kind of an interesting concept, right?
Microaggression.
She says, all throughout the day, we send subtle messages to the people around us through our body language, word choice, and behavior. There's a professor at Columbia University, Darrell Wang Su. He calls these signals microaggressions, which can have a profound and detrimental effect on the people around us. He says microaggressions are the brief and commonplace daily verbal, behavioral, environmental indignities, whether intentional or not intentional, that can create a hostile environment or a negative environment based on someone's race, their gender, sexual orientation, religion, and so forth. So one of the things that they found in this study was at Google, for example, a number of conference rooms, which traditionally had been named after scientists, were renamed after women scientists to balance out the gender representation. And the last point that Jane Porter makes in this article called "You're More Biased Than You Think," which is really my favorite, is talk about it.
Right.
Look for opportunities to call out your assumptions, to call out each other's assumptions, and make it safe for people. Make it safe for you, for your colleagues, for your team, and even in your family. Make it safe to explore, to reflect on emotional reactions and triggers that you have. Like, make it safe. Again, this conversation is not about making anybody wrong. Right. Rather, it's about understanding that we have unconscious biases. They are influencing our decision-making and our choices. Therefore, they're influencing our results. And so let's talk about it.
Right, and the more light that we shine on it, the more awareness that we have on it, we can choose consciously to make a different choice.
Yes.
Now, we might consciously choose to make the same choice, and that's fine.
Yes.
But if we're not aware of it, we're missing out.
Exactly. You know, I remember years ago, because I've been managing folks for many, many years, I remember when I was an early manager that I was hiring women. And I realized this is the importance of talking it out and basically telling on yourself, because I had a bias that women worked harder and were more open to feedback versus men.
Interesting.
Now, is that true? Again, if you remember the beginning of this podcast, people are going to be right about what they're going to be right about. Therefore, what do you do then? You go and collect the evidence. You go and find the people who are going to agree with you that women work harder and are more open to feedback. Now, one of the ways that I disrupted that, by the way, was to talk it out. Right, I had a then executive coach, talked it out with my executive coach, and one of the things that I did, or a result of that conversation, was I started a men's group. And that's really where the men's groups began 10, 12 years ago because I started to realize that I had a bias towards men, thinking that men were not open to exploring about being different, that men were not open to feedback, men were not open to growing because, you know, they're tough guys, they're stuck in their ways, they know better, they go things alone. By the way, those are all based on biases that I had.
Right.
And so now, fast forward to today, 10, 12 years later, I will tell you that I think men are so open. I think men are wanting to be different, that men want to create a different world. Therefore, that's why, you know, I have this awesome men's group.
Right, right. And you know, again, getting back to like how we're not even aware of these biases, you mentioned before about language.
Yes.
And how like we can be aggressive in our language and not even realize it. And I forget the name of the gentleman, but there's this whole new thing now called nonviolent communication.
Yes.
And a friend of mine, I haven't taken the course yet, but a friend of mine was telling me about it and how like there are words we use that actually can be very quote unquote violent. And we're not even aware of it.
Well, I think that's what that article about the microaggression is talking about.
Exactly.
In Jane Porter's article, which is that we use certain words or we use them in a certain way that can actually create a hostile environment or separation between two people.
And this is the importance of educating yourself to develop that awareness so you can do better.
Yes.
I've interviewed this woman by the name of Judith Glaser, who wrote this wonderful book called Conversational Intelligence.
Yes.
And she studied both neuroscience and language, and she found that even certain words help to promote trust and credibility within a conversation as opposed to fear and trauma.
Love it. The question for our global tribe of disruptors, what are your biases, both conscious and unconscious? Tell on yourself. Check out the dudes on social media throughout the week for inspirational quotes, disruptive conversations, and upcoming events. The dudes are on social media. We're all over the place. We're on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption. We're on Twitter, DOD Talk Radio. Me personally, Coach Nick NYC. We're on Instagram, Dudes of Disruption. You can email me if you want individual coaching, coachnick@coachnick.com. If you want to know and be a guest at our men's group, or you know a dude who should be in our men's group, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. If you want to join our political social action group, Cocktails with Conviction, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Do you think I'm a coach?
I kind of get that impression.
Our podcast is on iTunes and on Podomatic. Research Dudes of Disruption. Sam, we're at that time for parting shots. What say you? What say you,
parting
Sam?
Parting shots. What say I is, you know what? Collect different experiences of things you don't expect to see where your biases were, because the more different experiences you collect, the more open you can be to see things a different way.
I love it. Thank you so much, Sam, for being on the podcast.
My pleasure.
My question for the global tribe of disruptors, what are you being right about? Whatever you're going to be right about, you will be right about it. I promise you. When we are going to be right, we find the evidence to prove ourselves right, and we will eliminate the things that don't support our point of view. The only way to bring the background to the forefront, the unconscious to the conscious, is our ability to notice I'm a big notice guy, Sam. Notice our choices, notice our actions, notice our language, notice the choice of words that we use, and then tell on ourselves that this is a bias that I have, and not tell on ourselves from a judgmental place, but rather from a place of really wanting to create something different for yourself and for the relationships that you have out there. My colleague Melissa, who I've referenced several times, gave me this definition of inclusion, because I think that when you disrupt your biases, ultimately, the ultimate benefit is inclusion. Inclusion is a state of being valued, respected, and supported. It's about focusing on the needs of every individual and ensuring the right conditions are in place for each person to achieve his or her full potential. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. The podcast can be found, Dudes of Disruption, iTunes, and Podomatic. If you want coaching, please email me at coachnick@coachnick. Check us out on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption, and we end every podcast like we have all the other 112 podcasts with a Dr. Seuss quote: don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened.